NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma, here with Darian Woods, and a special celebrity cameo, Stacey Vanek Smith.
That's right.
Hello! I'm so glad to be here. I feel like people might be disappointed since you said celebrity guests. They might be thinking, like, Drake or something, but...
Stacey, you're the Drake of economics reporting.
We used to hear you on a podcast.
That is very flattering.
We asked Stacey to come back because we are going to talk on this episode about our indicators to watch for 2022. If you don't remember, all the way back to January, we tried to pick three indicators that would basically tell us the story of what happened this year beyond all the ups and the downs and the chaos of the news cycle. And we think they're pretty good. We think they still hold up.
Yeah.
So get ready, people. Stacey Vanek Smith, we had to steal you away from NPR's business desk today so you could tell us about what has happened with your indicator to watch for 2022.
Yes. Okay, so my indicator is something called the Architectural Billing Index, which does not sound that exciting, but I promise it gets exciting.
We trust you.
So this index is basically a record of billing and planned business for non-residential construction. And that is why this indicator is considered so important, right? Because if an architecture company has plans to build a store, an office building, something like that, that represents a lot of jobs, right?
Got it.
There's like a multiplying effect at work. When this indicator goes up, other things go up too.
Well, absolutely. Because, you know, if you think about it, it's construction jobs and plumbers and electricians and, of course, all the materials needed to build the store. So it makes a big impact wherever it happens. So the way that this indicator is measured is a little odd. It's from 0 to 100, and anything from 50 and above is an increase, and anything below 50 is a decrease. So you can imagine in 2020, this number just hit a record low. I mean, nobody was building anything in the very early days of the pandemic, right? Everything was canceled. But even at the end of 2020, it started to jump way up. And all through 2021, up, 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 up. It, you know, it got near some record highs even in 2021. So that brings us to this year. They track it every month. But last month, it was reported that the Architectural Billing Index fell from 51.7 to 47.7.
So that means things are slowing down?
Yes. And it makes a lot of sense for a bunch of reasons, I think, if you think about it. One is working from home, right? I mean, that has decreased the demand for office space. So even companies that still have people coming into the office, they might not need as much space now as they would have a few years ago when we were all going into the office every day. Also, a lot of companies might not want to expand right now. It's a lot of nervousness, a lot of hiring freezes.
Yeah, it's an uncertain world out there.
Yeah. Also, it's more expensive to borrow. Right? I mean, interest rates have gone up. And usually if you're taking on a big project like this, building an expensive building, you have to take out loans. And of course, loans have gotten more expensive, as have all the materials with which to build the things because of inflation.
Yes.
So a lot of things are contributing to the decrease in this. But it's not all bad news. I wanted to leave you guys with a silver lining. So a lot of projects over the last couple of years got super backed up, both because it was hard to find labor and then there were lockdowns and quarantines and it was hard to get materials and things like that. So even though the actual billings index shows a decrease in business, there are a lot of backlogged projects. So it'll be pretty robust next year, even though the future doesn't look great from a billings point of view. There are so many backlogged projects that there should be a lot of jobs being generated.
Got it. Well, that's all in the Fed's effort to combat inflation, which kind of takes me to my indicator of the year, which is about real wages. So that means what people earn, but after inflation. And so I wanted to look at two very different groups of people, workers in restaurants and bars and hotels, and also people working for finance companies. So you have hospitality workers who are some of the lowest paid people in the country, and you have finance workers as a group. These are some of the highest.
Right. And if they're seeing a bigger disparity, right, like if people have gotten raises faster in finance, if maybe inequality is becoming more of a problem or less.
Yeah, exactly. And so last year was very unusual. It was a boom time for wait staff and hotel clerks. The economy was reopening. Diners and bars were hiring like mad. They were offering real pay rises of over 7% last year. But meanwhile, in finance, it was actually declining a little. So on this one particular measure, inequality was decreasing. And in 2022, there are some similarities and some differences. So first, the big difference this year. It is clear that the boom times for waitstaff and these hotel clerks is over.
Oh, no.
The average hourly earnings of leisure and hospitality workers declined by 2% this year once you take into account inflation. This is a real pay cut. But the trend of people in finance earning less continues this year. The real earnings of finance workers fell even further. They had on average a 4% pay cut.
So like everybody's losing together.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's any cold comfort, you know, for the bartenders and the dishwashers that, yes, you're going backwards, but don't worry, the bankers are going backwards even faster. So the big picture on my indicator is that, you know, a lot of people might have got these pay raises. They might have seen the numbers on their pay stubs go up. But those increases, on average, were more than eaten away by inflation. So as an economy, we've kind of hit this wall where the cost of living is canceling out any small pay rises.
Hopefully my indicator of the year will, I don't know, provide a little bit of a pickup for people, because there was some good news.
We need a light at the end of 2022, Adrian. We need a light.
Yeah. Well, my indicator to watch for this year was the Global Supply Chain Pressure Index. This was a baby indicator that was just rolled out by the New York Federal Reserve Bank, some economists there, back in January. And you might remember back in January, a lot of people were talking about the supply chain, just how messed up it was.
Garden gnomes, refrigerators.
I mean, maybe garden gnomes is where it got real.
Essential goods.
Also weird things, remember like chicken wings?
There was this ketchup shortage we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seemed like every couple of weeks we were just doing a new supply chain issue.
I mean, and this was part of the inspiration for these economists creating this new indicator, because they thought, let's just see if we can put in a number how gummed up the supply chain is. And so what they did was they took all this shipping data from around the world going back about 25 years, and they essentially calculated an average amount of supply chain pressure and called that zero. Zero would be the baseline, and the further away that the index gets from zero, the worse off the supply chain is.
So this year, I'm guessing maybe it wasn't as bad as it has been, but definitely not zero, because there were some things.
So there was some things. About a year ago, the supply chain pressure index was over four. Four is basically the most gummed up the supply chain has been in the last quarter century.
Oh.
That's a lot.
And here comes the good news, though, which is that over the past year, the supply chain pressure index has been ticking down. So it's gone from over four to three to two to where we are right now, which is just around one.
Okay. Oh.
So the story of this year is that a lot of the supply chain clogs have been cleared. I mean, it's not back to normal. There are still a lot of kinks in the works, like supply chain delays coming out of China caused by its zero COVID policy, among other things. But the global supply chain is still a lot better off than it was at the start of the year. And that's actually had an added benefit of taking some of the steam out of inflation, because global supply chain snafus were a big ingredient of what was driving higher prices.
Adrian brings the cheer.
There you go, folks. Indicators to watch for 2022 in the books. Thank you, Stacy, for stopping in. The door is always open.
Oh, thanks for letting me crash. It was very fun.
And who knows? Maybe we'll be back next month with a new round of Indicators to Watch. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Jamila Huxtable. It was fact-checked by Dylan Sloan and engineered by Maggie Luthar. VLA is our senior producer. Kate Kinnan edits the show. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.